Won't keep you very long this morning. I want to talk about the glory in us. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 8 with me this morning. 2.5 months ago, God led me to go to Toronto. I've not been the same since.
Praise God.
Never going back to being the same. I didn't realize it's been at least that long since I wore a suit. Several people asked me what happened. They'd never seen me in a suit that's been here. So here I am in a suit. There. My wife dressed me this morning. So, but outside of that, I'm never going to be the same again. Church is never going to be the same again. And there's a great spirit that is trying to put us back into what we used to be. And it's not going to happen. Just not going to happen. God wants to shake us, wake us. It's going to continue to shake. It's going to continue to wake. The Spirit of the Lord is changing us. There's no way back because God is answering our prayers. We ask Him to come in His glory. So now He's answering. And it can be a little uncomfortable. I felt it in the prayer room this morning. I felt it in worship this morning. It'd be a little uncomfortable because it's not like what we were used to. But how many know God does all things new? And He's changing up on us. We just need to follow Him. But He wants us to walk in His glory. And I want to go through 5 steps of walking in the glory, beginning in Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for that we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Who had the word perseverance this morning? Just coincidence. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Think about this. His glory will be revealed in us. We ask for His glory to manifest. It's not something that's going to be outside His bride, outside His church. God's glory will be seen in His people. Quiet in here. It's too quiet in here. Presbyterian services next Sunday. Yeah, Pastor Brad's speaking next week, so.
He's not Presbyterian.
Pastor Brad's going to be ordained next week. You don't want to miss that. That's going to be tremendous.
Hallelujah.
We licensed him over a year ago, and he has proven to indeed have fivefold call in his life, so we're excited about that. So next Sunday morning, and then he'll speak the Presbyterian message. Creation is waiting for this very thing, His glory to be revealed in us. All of creation is waiting for the glory to be revealed in His children so that creation can be filled with His glory. First us, then creation. Come on, somebody. The The Holy Spirit is even groaning. The three groanings are creation is groaning. There's a groaning within us. And the Holy Spirit is groaning in His people. We see it in the Scriptures. We hear it in our own prayers. I don't know about you, but lately I've just been groaning in the Spirit. Not making much sense to anybody trying to listen as if they were. But there's a groaning because God understands our groaning in the Spirit. We want to become what He has always called us to be. Amen. His glory is revealed in us. First is the grace that we walk in. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. The grace that we walk in. God is revealing His glory in His children. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I never saw it before like this, but in verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the what?
Glory.
The glory of God. Sin then is falling short of His glory, which He intends to show through you. He intends to show His glory through you. We are in good standing and have the authority and power through the grace that God has given, but God wants to take it a step further and show forth His glory in His children. Now, what does that mean? What's that mean in modern day English, to show forth His glory? To actually live a victorious Christian life. Can you imagine? Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, He's talking to you. See, what God is looking for in His children is consistency, actually walking in a victorious, overcoming life. Able to withstand the storms of the day and walk in glory like He intended us to. It's by grace that we find good standing in the Lord, but He wants to take that a step further into His glory. Romans chapter 5, flip over. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So there's a hunger in us, a passion in us for God to show His glory through us. Consistent Christian living. Overcoming in the best sense of the word. God has called us to be overcomers, not underachievers.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. God's always there. God's always there to answer our prayer. He's always there to forgive us. But how many know God's optimum is that we walk in perfection? It's quiet in here. We walk in perfection. Because we're allowing God to live His glory through us. The grace of God must be present before we will partake in His glory. Because it's all God. We yield to Him. Grace is the power to walk in victory. Grace gives us knowledge of rights and privileges. Grace is the judgment of God appeased. He works through us in His wonders. His main point is not to forgive us of our sins. His main point is to work His glory through us. Forgiveness is a side issue if we sin, the Bible says. Not when we sin. His glory is revealed in His grace. Turn over to John chapter 1 very quickly. John 1, 14. The Word became flesh, John 1, 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. His glory is revealed in his grace. He allows, think of this, he allows us to be used of him in spite of our humanness. We are the only gospel many will ever see, and we've got to challenge you and I to live in the realm of glory, to allow God to work through us. His fullness, the Bible says, we have all received. Are you walking in his fullness? Are you just getting enough to get by? How many know God's intent is to have you walk in his fullness? That's his intent. That's his goal. He's not just saying, you know, I'll just give you enough to get by. No, he wants to give you all it takes to be victorious at every turn. All creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. All creation is waiting and groaning in deference to us, waiting for us. Many say they can't wait for the return of Christ. How many know Christ is waiting for us to yield to him in all that we do? Secondly is love. Not only grace, but we need to love. We are in a time of great shifting in our world, and love has gone through a tremendous redefining in the world. Love is almost unrecognizable in the secular world. People are actually saying they love somebody. They say, we'll defend your right to be who you want to be, even though AIDS will most likely kill you. When's the last time you heard anything about AIDS? Let me see a hand. I don't see anybody. How many of you know AIDS is killing just as many people as it always has of homosexual lifestyle? But it's not mentioned or talked about. We love you. We defend your right to be who you are instead of telling him the truth about lifestyles that would destroy their life. Go ahead and live the way you want to live. Live happily for 35 years when God intended you to live for 70. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. We need to love like God told us to love. Tolerance has happened instead of truth. We just tolerate people. Lust instead of love. We live in a society that says, give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. People with their hand out, give me, give me, give me. Not people willing to work and willing to give and willing to lay down their lives, but we need to redefine. If God's glory is going to move through his church, we need to redefine love back to the original intent that God has. We live in a world that ridicules instead of respects. We've given people a license to sin instead of a liberty to live. And it's been the church's fault that much of this has happened. We need love again, agape love, the God kind of love. Come on, somebody. The world responds to God's kind of love. If you love somebody, concerted effort to love people, even in our own community, they will repent. We won't have to tell them they need to repent. The Spirit of God will do that. I say this lots anymore, but I've resigned trying to be the Holy Ghost. I thought I was doing a pretty good job. Come on, somebody. Say this with me. I resign from being the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost convicts of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. The Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He's done it a long time. He's going to bring conviction on our land. He is bringing conviction upon our land. We need to love the way God loves. We'll confront the world. It's inevitable that we confront the world, but it must be by love. We don't want to answer them in a lie. We don't want to skirt the truth. We want to tell the truth, but we want to do it in the spirit of love. It was love that motivated David to kill Goliath. Come on, somebody. It was love. He said, "Who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he come against the armies of the living God?" He loved his nation. He loved his brethren. He loved his people. It's love that sent Jesus to the cross. It wasn't any other motivation. That kind of love needs to come and stay in the church once and for all. Love redirected to full acceptance of anyone doing anything has got to stop. It's pure evil. To say that we love in the way of letting people do what they want to do. No. We love you. We want you to stop. We don't want you to die. We don't want you to go to hell. We don't want you to do it. We love you and God loves you. Thirdly is obedience. I mean, no, we've got to obey. God is looking for, come on somebody, God's looking for immediate obedience. Once we hear the word of the Lord, then we're to obey. That's part of the thing that holds up the glory of God in the church, the way he wants to pour out his spirit, because people are kind of saying, let me think about this a little bit, because if I want your full intent glory, then I must live righteously and holy and separately from the world. But I don't know if I want to do that. And God says, well, I don't know if I want to give you my glory then. It's not going to happen. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. In your Bibles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Philippians chapter 2. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only on his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Nothing counts if we are not obedient. We must be obedient to the word of the Lord. Without obedience, we are no more than renegades. And renegades do not establish kingdoms, they destroy them. Quiet again. By the time God tells you to do something, how many know he intends for you to do it? He said in Samuel, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. God demands quick and immediate obedience by the time he speaks clearly to us. When we walk in his glory, there is none of us and all of him. And we look for the interest of others. We have the mind of Christ and our obedience must be the same as his. His glory will not be revealed in us until it is. Strict obedience. God's not playing. God's not playing. He's got great glory, but it's not cheap glory. It's not something he allows us to wear as a badge or as something new or attracting people. If people are attracted to us, we're doing it for all the wrong reasons. How many know they need to be attracted to the Christ in us? It's a wonderful thing to be used of God. Last several weeks have been like heaven in my home, the presence and the power of God has been so tremendous. But I'll tell you what, he didn't play. By the time he tells me I've got to get rid of something, you better get rid of it. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, he must be talking to me. We want the glory, but we don't want to pay the price. There's a price to be paid. I've seen some people transforming. If you've got eyes at all, you've seen some people in our congregation that are transforming by the power of God. The Dalton family is just going through all kinds of shenanigans, man. They're just, every time you turn around, God's working on them. And it's because He's pouring out His Spirit. And they are open to that and yielding to the pouring of His Spirit. Obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. Then revelation. By the way, this is spelling out, if you're taking notes, go vertically along the page and go G-L-O-R-Y, the five ingredients for His glory. Revelation. We need to walk in the revelation of God. How many know revelation is something that's laid bare and made naked? That's what revelation means in the Scriptures. Revelation is to lay bare and to make naked. His will becomes clear and His intention plain. He's not beating around the bush. There's no big secrets. No, when somebody has revealed the word of the Lord, they want to write a book and have a conference. I've got a new revelation, and I want to write a book and bring a conference. But how many know revelation is meant to confirm, not go in a brand new direction? There's nothing new under the sun. God is just revitalizing His word that is eternal. Revelation is to lay bare and make naked, learn from Him, study His word, but to be open to revelation of His will and His word. Be open to having new things said to you that were always there that you missed. Revelation is a disclosure of truth. We need to be open to having the Word of God revealed to us. Mark 4:22 says, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light." And this is the age of the Holy Spirit revealing to His church His intent. And we're hopefully responding. New life is happening at New Life. And if you feel pressured, someone said, I think Lexi said, "Well, these young people just have the word of the Lord, don't they?"
They do.
Said, "You know, you look too comfortable." I could hear some older folks going, "Who are you to tell me I'm uncomfortable?" The word of the Lord is, you look too comfortable. God's word makes us uncomfortable because somebody's going to change and it ain't going to be Him. Luke 10:21, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed," revelation, "them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight." Our young people are responding to the Lord. "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things." Yes, the deep things of God. God is in the business of searching our hearts and searching the deep things of God so that everything may be laid bare and open. Lately, God has been telling me things that before I looked at it and said, "Well, maybe I can live." How many are like this? Maybe I can go ahead and seek God and have God in my life and keep this other stuff on the side. Not necessarily sin, but things that distract me from His presence. Come on, somebody. I'm asking God for all His glory, and He said, "Well, if you want my glory, then you're going to have to yield to me." I want you to play that. Can you play that thing that was on here? The video, do you have it?
Catherine Coleman, probably one of my, if not my most favorite revivalist. And I've always been drawn to her life and what she stood for and what she paid a price for. But I want to read a quote to you that, it's actually kind of a long quote, but I feel like it's kind of the tone for the night. So let me read it to you. The Heavenly Father does not ask for golden vessels. He does not ask for silver vessels. God asks for yielded vessels. Those who will submit their will to the will of the Father. And the greatest human attainment in all the world is for a life to be so surrendered to Him that the name of God Almighty will be glorified through that life. So my prayer tonight, our prayer tonight, is that we would just be fully yielded before the Lord tonight. Now, and it wouldn't end tonight. This would really be another dimension of yieldness, if I could make up a word for you, that we be yield to the Lord even in greater ways so that His name can be glorified in our life. Because it was the design of God for Him to live in you and demonstrate for the ages to come His exceeding riches of His grace. And so why don't we lift our hands to heaven right now, let's just yield ourselves to the posture of just surrender to the Lord. Father, we're so grateful what's happened in the last 20 years.
Steve Ulrey came to me just before service this morning and played that for me, having no idea that I was going to talk, end up the message today talking about yielding. Wow. We need to yield to the Lord. What does yielding mean? What does yielding mean to you? When's the last time that you yielded to this presence of the Lord? I'm not talking about when's the last time you were present when somebody yielded to the Lord and a word came forth. I'm not talking about when you've been in the presence of a group of people that is yielding to the Lord. I want to speak to you individually. When is the last time that you yielded to the Lord? Let Him have His way completely without any caveats, without any boundaries. Say, God, do whatever You want to do in me and through me. My wife and I have been praying the last 12 weeks. God, do what You always wanted to do. And we have found it to be the most exciting time of our young lives. Yielding. Do you really believe that God does all things new? Or has your relationship with God taken on a predictable aura? If God speaks to you through your devotional that sets on your table, maybe it's time to put the devotional back in the library. If God speaks to you through a certain somebody or a certain book, maybe it's time to stop listening to a certain somebody or a certain book. Get a fresh word from God. Yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants His glory to come to His church again. Not for us, because we'll live in His glory for eternity. We'll live in His glory. His glory is available to us all the time. But He's not saying, I want the glory for the church. He wants to shine His glory through the church to this generation that does know nothing about the glory of God. They know nothing about the glory. They know all about religion. They know all about the finger pointing and the disdain for them coming from the religious sectors of society, but they do not know what the glory of God is. When He comes and wipes away their sin, fills them with the Holy Spirit, and changes their destination. That's the glory of God, that He wants to work through His church. Amen. Amen. A very visible church that God has left on this planet. We're not here for ourselves. We're the only organization that exists solely for its non-believers. Right. Non-members. Right. James chapter 3 verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Just let the outside join with the inside. What you're wearing on your face should be what you have in your heart. There's no room for hypocrisy in receiving and walking in the Lord. When's the last time something new happened in your relationship with God? When's the last time God challenged you and you said, man, this is all new. What is this? See, powerful stuff. Powerful stuff that God wants to do. And you know what? God will do new things in us for an eternity. How many know it's going to take an eternity just to know Him? He's God. My wife and I got excited talking about God. Because you know what? God doesn't have anybody He answers to. Do you know God doesn't say, I wonder if I'm making the right decision. Everybody else has to say that. Every angel, every created being, we all have to say that. I wonder, come on somebody. We have to say, I wonder if I'm making the right decision. I wonder if I'm hearing from God. But God never has to say that. God never has to say, gosh, I wonder if I made the right decision when I answered that prayer. Wait a minute. Come back here. I made a mistake. Let me straighten this thing out. God is all-knowing. He never has to apologize, never has to say, that's the God that we need to allow in our lives. That's the God we need to say, God, show your glory through me. By your grace, by your love, by my obedience, by revelation, and because I'm yielding to you. God, show your glory through me. Father, in Jesus' name today, Lord. Today. Lord, not tomorrow. Today I make a fresh decision to let your glory shine through me. Come on, pray this prayer with me, church. I make a decision to let your glory shine through me. And it will manifest in the way that you want it to manifest, God. May I be attuned to the leading of your Spirit. Lord, do what you always wanted to do in me. Do what you always wanted to do through me. That your name might be glorified. Jesus, we await your return. We say with the Spirit and the bride, even so, Lord, come quickly. God, in the meanwhile, keep us on fire for you. Keep us in revelation of you, Father. Keep us shining forth your glory. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor that's due your name. In Jesus' name.